I want to begin a new series as we go into this new year to kind of kick off the year, and we've kicked it off with a week of prayer and fasting, and I want to encourage you to continue, take some time this week to fast and to pray and just to talk to the Lord. And our scripture today is one of the most familiar in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 1, and we're going to read it together, and then we'll go down to verse number 6 of that same chapter. Now, if you're not familiar with this chapter, it's often called the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's a listing of people who did great things by faith. And we're going to read verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This morning, our new series is entitled, Me to We. I was trying to be a poet. Me to We. And this morning I want to speak about powerful faith. Powerful faith. And we're going to pray and then we'll get right into our subject for this morning. Father, thank you for your presence, for your power. Thank you for the volume of worship that's been here today and Lord, your spirit that's been ministering into lives already. Lord, I pray that you will enable me to speak your word with confidence, with assurance. Lord, with the unction and anointing that only you can bring. And Lord, I pray that your word and your spirit will agree together to speak into our hearts today. Lord, that you will challenge us, you'll move us along closer to you. And for this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. And it's really good to see all of you here as we launch out into 2017. And what a year it's going to be for us. Last year was kind of a year of preparation for our building project as we were going through city council and planning advisory committee and all the rest of the things that go along with it. And thank the Lord that by the end of the year we have all the permits and everything that we need to go ahead. And as soon as the Lord sees fit to remove the snow from the property and the frost from the ground, we will be able to go ahead. And we're thankful for that. This year, we want to continue to move ahead and see what God will do. And as I begin this series, Me to We, you might wonder why I would entitle it that. Years ago, when I was a teenager, there was a song that was quite popular. I haven't heard it in years. It just happened to come to mind as I was preparing for this message. And it went like this. If you know it, you can hum along or sing along if you want. It just went, me and Jesus, we got a good thing going, me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. Anybody know that one? Me and Jesus, we got a good thing going, we don't need nobody to tell us what it's all about. Anybody admit to knowing that song? A couple people. And for a while it was kind of popular, it's kind of catchy tune and kind of a takeoff on another song too, by the way. And it expressed the whole idea of a personal relationship with Jesus, and that is so important. Now, the song really wasn't theologically correct, because while me and Jesus might have a good thing going, the Bible teaches us that I do need people in my life to tell me what it's all about. And so, a little off on the theology there, but we understand what it was trying to say. It was trying to say that I've got a relationship with Jesus and we're working it out together, and that's important. We talk a lot about our personal relationship with Jesus and how we need to have that relationship with Him one-on-one. And when we talk about faith, we talk about personal faith. But as we begin this series and throughout this series, when you look at Scripture, you discover that not only should we have a personal faith, but we should also have a shared faith. That that it's not just me and Jesus, it's we and Jesus. That it's not just Jesus and me, it's Jesus and we. As we come out of our week of prayer, we've been praying for God to build our faith, for God to do amazing things. And when it happens in one person, it begins to impact everybody around them. We don't live on an island. There's something that's powerful about when we come together as a church, as the body of Christ. For example, if you pray alone, you know that that can be really powerful. You'll have some powerful moments. But when you pray with others, when you come together with the body and begin to pray in a prayer meeting, there is something that begins to happen that, as powerful as that personal experience is, there's something that happens when we come together with the body to pray. Something powerful begins to happen. It's the same with worship. You can worship in your car. You know that? People do all kinds of things in their car. Some are dangerous. And it's like when you get in your car, you feel like there's this shield of invisibility around you. Don't believe me? Okay, next time you're at a stoplight, look at the car next to you if they have the music on. And the reason you're laughing is because some of you have done it. You might even see, if you pull up beside Brother Brent, I haven't seen him do it, but you might see him if you ever catch him. You might even see him playing a little bit of air guitar. Because we have a shield of invisibility around us when we're in a car. But many of you, you know, we worship in the car. You put on some worship music, you're driving along, and God is there, and you know that God's not just in church, and worship isn't just a church thing. Worship is a life thing. And so you're driving along, and you've got your tunes playing, and you've got your favorite song on there, and it's a time of blessing. But there's a reason why the Bible teaches us to come together for worship. Because when I come together with other believers, as powerful as that worship time is in your car, and you know when you think back to it that if somebody looked over at you, they'd wonder what on earth was going on with that person. I mean, you're singing, you're emphatic, you're getting blessed, you might be smiling, you might have whatever it is, but there's something about it that when we come together, there is power in worship together. The Bible says, where even two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, or I am there with them. There's something powerful that happens. We've been asking God to inspire faith. And for some of you, I hope, I pray, my prayer is that God will inspire faith in your life today, that He will inspire you and stir you to take a step of faith in your heart, in your life, that a year down the road from now, you'll look back and say, something different happened. God inspired me to believe Him for something that I never did before. I want to lay a quick foundation today. I want to talk about two stories that happened in the life of Jesus. Two times the Bible says that Jesus was amazed. For the first one, we're going to take you back to Mark chapter 6. I've gotten the New Living because it's modern translation, just a little easier to understand. It said, Jesus left that part of the country, returned with His disciples to Nazareth, His hometown. He was going back home. The next Sabbath, He began teaching in the synagogue. Many who heard Him were amazed. They asked, where did He get all His wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? How is this happening? We know Him, is what they're saying. This is Jesus. He grew up here. Now notice verse 3. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. In case you didn't know, Jesus had half brothers and half sisters. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. They said, we know him, he grew up here. And then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to. Now, you see, Jesus measures by a whole different standard than we do. I was reading this and I said, you know, Lord, we'd be happy to lay hands on sick people and see them all get healed. But it says here that he did no mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. That's how powerful he was and is. And notice verse 6. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Why don't you say that first part with me? He was amazed. He was amazed. Say it again. He was amazed. That means he was blown away. He was shocked. He looked at what was going on and said, I can't believe this. That's one side of the equation. Now, the second story is in the Gospel of Luke. It's about a centurion who the Jewish people had every reason to hate. Because he was Roman. They did cruel things to the Jews. The Romans only knew about strength through force. And so he probably wasn't well liked. But he had a sick servant who was dying. And he'd heard about Jesus, and he sent someone to Jesus and said, I want you to have Jesus come to heal my guy. And when Jesus met the centurion, let's pick up the story in Luke 7, verse 6. Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. You don't even need to come to my house. Verse 7, I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Notice this next part. Now, last Sunday night I preached about Obed-Edom, the guy who was blessed with the presence of the Lord in his house when he wasn't entitled. This gentleman was not Jewish. He was not entitled. He had no claim on Jesus whatsoever. But look at what he says. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Here's what I want you to do, Jesus. Just say the word. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to lay hands on him. You don't have to do any of that. I'm not worthy of it. Just say the word. Just speak. Say the word from where you are. Now remember, this was in the days before Snapchat, FaceTime, WhatsApp. When he sent word to Jesus to say, you know, he wasn't saying, hey, just FaceTime in and we'll be good. He was saying, you don't need to come. I don't need to hear you say the words. As long as you say it, it's going to be okay. And if you do it, my servant will be healed. I know that if you speak the word, my servant's going to be healed. You don't bother coming to my house. You don't need to come here. I'm not worthy and you're too great and all of that. Just speak the word. And I know this, and he begins to explain how he knew it, because he was a soldier, and he was used to giving commands. And notice verse number 9, and when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. In our first reading, he was amazed because they didn't believe. In the second reading, he was amazed because they did. And here's what I want you to notice. The first group should have believed. We say, well, you know, they knew him when he was growing up, and he didn't do any miracles when he was a child, and they knew him, and he grew up, but they were Jewish. The prophets and the law all spoke to them. They all worshiped Jehovah God. They all knew about Messiah who would come. They had all heard about Jesus and what he was doing. They should have believed. This centurion, we don't even have his name. He was a pagan. He had no claim whatsoever on Messiah. And yet those who should have believed didn't, and he who shouldn't have believed did. And there's a very important lesson for us here today. Lest we ever become enamored of ourselves and begin to think that we are entitled. After all, I'm a Christian. You see, it wasn't about who they were. It was about the fact that one would believe and the others wouldn't. There is a power in simple faith. Now, I know all kinds of books have been written about it. People have preached so many sermons about it. There's, 10 steps to faith and 20 steps to faith, and you name it, you can find it. But back before Christmas, we were talking about discovering God like a child. And Jesus said that if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you've got to come like a child. And a child, a young child, just simply believes. They believe. You know, a young child believes that their mom and dad, they're Superman and Superwoman. That's why when you take them to Walmart and they happen to go through the toy section or Toys R Us, or Bankrupt R Us, Bankrupt Us. You ever notice when you have young children, you take them, they don't care, they don't look at the price. Hey, mom, can you buy this for us? You know, and you're looking at it having a heart attack and thinking how what it's going to do to your credit card. And they're not thinking about that. They just think, well, mom and dad, they got all kinds of money. They can do anything. They can buy anything. After a while, they begin to realize. But they believe. And Jesus was amazed at this man's faith that he dared to believe even when he didn't have a right. I want to ask you this as we launch into this new year. If Jesus were to look at your faith level today on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself? I don't want you to answer out loud. I don't want you to answer to anybody else. This is personal. Would he be amazed at our great faith? Or would he be amazed at our lack of faith? I want you to think about your prayer life. What did you pray for this past year? I want you to imagine this. If everything you prayed for, God answered it immediately now. Boom. Everything. Every single prayer you prayed last week, last month, last year, boom, it happens. Here's my question to think about. If God were to do that, what would be different in the world? It may be that someone would be healed of cancer. A relationship or a marriage might be healed. A financial need might be met. Maybe for someone it would mean the biggest thing that would happen would be that your food would be blessed. For some people there would be nothing different in the world because they really didn't pray a single prayer. Never attempted anything big or daring for the kingdom of God. Never dared to believe in it. And I believe that as a person goes, the church goes. And I believe that as a church, that God is calling us to be a faith-filled, giant-slaying kind of church that has big dreams and big actions to go along with those dreams. You know, as we gather here this morning, and I thank God for every person that is here. I'm so thankful we were able to add more chairs last year and to have more space. I'm thankful for that. But you see, that's only the beginning. We're believing God that even with the chairs that we're going to be adding on top of these ones, that this building is way too small. That we're going to have to do things differently. Because our vision cannot be confined to the present. And as a church, we've got to be able to dream big. You know, we're going to be building the extension, but that's only part one. You say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do? We don't have any more land. Well, we will find some land. We're going to do that. I believe that. You've got to dream big. You say, it's going to cost a lot of money. Well, doesn't God say that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? And the gold and the silver are His, and so we're going to need to ask God to kill a few cows. Mine some gold. Let me leave you with three very simple facts. I want to talk about faith. The first thing about faith, you cannot always play it safe and please God. You cannot always play it safe and please God. There have been moments in my life when I've had to put faith in people. When my daughters were younger and we went to La Ronde, my wife doesn't do most rides. She just doesn't like them. It's not her thing. And so it fell to me to go on the rides. It was my good fortune or misfortune, I'm not sure exactly how that works, to have daughters who were enamored with roller coasters. Okay? Now, I confess, before I had kids, I did not go much on roller coasters at all. Okay, not a roller coaster guy. But, you know, when they're this tall and they say, Dad, we want to go on the roller coaster. You got to come with us. And it's like, I'm a man. When you show fear, you lose. Anybody been there? Well, you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. When you show fear, I mean, it's like, hey, they're this tall. They're like, yeah, the roller coaster, look, the monster, woohoo! It's like, what? Okay. Hey, Dad, can we get in the front? Are you crazy? And you know, when you're on the roller coaster and you get on there and, you know, and it starts and it's this rickety wooden thing. How many of you have been on the monster? Have I got the name right? The monster? It's the monster, right? I haven't been on it for a while. I don't have to go now. And it starts, you know, you get on it, it starts click, 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 and you're going up the hill and you're looking down and I'm looking at all these, you know, 2x6 and all the rest of whatever they are and all these things that's all wood. And I'm like, I really hope that the guy who did that was having a good day when he was working. And then you get up to the top and, you know, you look, and when you see how far down it goes, eventually. And, you know, and the crazy kids, they're like, woo! And you're like, and then you're telling yourself, I am the man. Woo! At that moment, when you come over, you know, we went to Canada's Wonderland, and you guessed it, Dad, can we go on the roller coaster? And it was a day when there was hardly anybody there. And they have a stand-up roller coaster. And there was hardly anybody there, so we went on. And I think we're back in the middle of the first thing. I forget how many times we went on that day. Was it 5? Something like that. Because, you know, Dad, we got to go on the roller coaster. And I'm like, I'm a man. I'll go. Yeah, sure. No problem. And so then it was like, Dad, we can get on the front seat. We can get the front. There is no seats. We can get on the front. Well, I got to tell you, when you're coming up to the top, and you know, and you're thinking like, I hope whoever designed this, you know, didn't have a fly-by-night education. And I'm really hoping that whoever was supposed to maintain this thing, they really maintained it. And you come up to the front, and I remember we came up, and you're going to go down, and you come up, and there's like this little thing in front of you, and it's not very high, and it's, you know, and you're held in, and you come up to the front, and all of a sudden, it starts going over. And you're looking down at where you're going to go. And the crazy kids are going, woo! And I'm like, dear Lord Jesus. And I put my hands up in the air, but I think it was more in prayer than it was in screaming. And it was like, dear Lord Jesus, if you ever heard me, let me come through this thing, Lord Jesus. And Lord, don't let this thing come off the tracks and we hit the bottom, because, Lord, you know. You know, Lord Jesus, I know you love me and you're going to help me get through this, Lord Jesus. I made it. And I will confess that by the end of all of that, and I got, by the end of all of that, when I was raising my hands, it wasn't in prayer. It was like, ooh, this is fun. But that very first time, I remember climbing up the monster, and I remember it's like, dear Lord, what am I doing? Am I out of my mind? I should tell them that this is just not right. Like, but you see, you have to take a step of faith. Remember the first time I ever flew? Anybody remember the first time you flew? And you get on the plane, and in my case, it was one of those little Dash 8s, little small guy. It's almost like you strap it on and wear it. And you get on the plane, and you get out on the runway, and they're strapped in, and they're giving you this whole safety thing, you know, in case the plane goes down, you know, the mast will descend, and you can use your seat bottom as a flotation device, and, you know, and if you go down, you know, be sure to put the mask on first before you try to help anybody else. And it's really encouraging. And so, you know, I was in the plane, and all of a sudden, you're out on that runway, and it's just taxiing kind of gently, and then all of a sudden, the pilot hits the gas. That's probably not what they call it in pilot terms, but he hits the gas. And all of a sudden, you're pushed back in your seat, and the plane starts going faster and faster, and you're wondering, is this thing ever going to get off the ground? Like, is this going to be the one? Anybody ever thought that? Come on, you thought that? Is this going to be, you know, we're going, and it's like, we're going plenty fast, but I know we're on the ground, and we don't seem to be climbing very, it's not going. And then all of a sudden, it starts going up, and you're like, this isn't coming up very fast. And then, I was on one time, we just barely got up off the ground, there was a little gust of wind, and went, doo-doo. And I was like, dear Lord, I love you. You know, every time you get on a plane, you have faith that whoever's behind the controls of that plane knows what they're doing. And it's the same way. If you want to get from here to Florida by plane, you got to get on the plane. You have to take that step. And faith demands that I step out of my comfort zone and take a step. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Look at this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, if you can do everything in your own power and with your own ability, you'd never need the power of God. And if you live in that realm, you're not living by faith. Let me give you a simple example of salvation. You can't save yourself. You need the power of God. You need God's power within your life. And there's a challenge in North America in particular where we almost glorify faith, that if you have great faith, you're never going to have a problem. You know, if you have great faith, you're always going to have that happy face on. You ever heard that? You're always going to have a smile. You're always going to be good. You're never going to have a bad day. You're just going to be floating along in this eternal kind of faith. And the reality is, faith can be messy sometimes. There may be some moments when you've got great faith, and there may be some other moments when the next moment you're saying, well, Lord, I don't know. And sometimes you feel like God really spoke to me. I know it. And then all of a sudden you're like, maybe not so sure. And sometimes it's hard to follow a God that you can't see. And you take these faith steps and you believe and it becomes messy. And that's why it's called faith. Because it's not proven what's going to happen. An example. Peter and the disciples are out on a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's 3:00 in the morning. They're going across. They're all fishermen, most of them. They're going across. And all of a sudden, one of them who's keeping watch looks out and sees this figure walking on the water towards them. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I would know it was Jesus. Like, I would just know that because, you know, Jesus is God and God can do anything, and therefore it had to be Jesus. But for the rest of us, excuse me, the disciples looked at it and they said, it's a ghost. Like, whoa. It's 3:00 in the morning. There must have been a little bit of the moon or stars or something. It's 3:00 in the morning. We see something coming towards us on the water. Have you ever been out at night and seen something come towards you and didn't know what it was? I lived in the country for about 3 years. I mean, country. We were so far out in the country, we came in to go hunting. Okay? We were country. Country. I mean, it was like where the deer, they didn't have antelope, but where the deer and the antelope play. The deer would be out in your yard. The bear had a path worn right by the house. And I will tell you that there were some times if you went out like to shovel snow late at night, being a night owl, sometimes you end up shoveling late at night and you're out shoveling snow, and you hear a noise in the bushes. You're not thinking it's Jesus. No, you're not. You are thinking, Jesus, help me get in the house and get my gun. So it's 3:00 in the morning. They don't know who it is. And then Jesus says, hey, guys, it's me. You got to bet that they were relieved. And then I want to pick up the story in verse 28. Let's put it on the screen. Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. And then comes that famous verse. And when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Here's the part we remember. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? We look at that and we remember that Peter began to sink and that Jesus had to help him. What we forget was there were 11 guys in the boat who never knew what it was to walk on water. And it's better to be the Peter who steps out by faith than to be the 11 who never experienced anything. And there will be times when you step out on faith and your faith begins to waver because you have no explicit knowledge, but you have a word. And Peter had the privilege of walking on water. Yes, he looked around him and he said, look, I see the waves and the wind, and I know I can't walk on water. And he began to look at those things rather than at Jesus. You know, it's very important for us because sometimes in our lives, Jesus tells us, take a step, and we're doing just fine until we begin to listen to the people around us who tell us, you can't walk on water. You can't do that. That can't happen. That's not possible. and we begin to tell ourselves. The second thing about faith, I'm going to bring this to a close, is this. As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. This is not, faith is the confidence that what is guaranteed will happen. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And the problem for many of us is we want a guarantee. I came across a statement. This is an important statement for us. I didn't put it on the screen. I should have. You can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. I get to do a fair amount of driving. And I'm no problem. I have no fear of driving. But then put me in the passenger seat. It's amazing how my confidence is shot. All of a sudden, I find myself reaching for the brakes, but there is no brake pedal. I find myself willing the car to stop, but I have no power to make it stop. And faith, you know, a few years back there was a song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Faith is giving the wheel to Jesus and saying, you're in charge, not me. And sometimes that gives us a problem. It challenges us. The third thing, this is the last thing. Third thing, to step towards your destiny, what God wants you to be and do, means stepping out of your comfort zone. To step towards your destiny, you have to step out of your comfort zone. Faith risk. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He didn't know where he was going, but he took the first step. God's probably not calling you to go to a country far away or to a land far away. But there are times that God speaks. And in comparison, they may not seem like such big things. But are we willing to simply say, yes? Yes. How does this play out in our lives? If you're following Jesus today, it may be that God will prompt you to share your faith with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. It may be a family member or someone you work with or someone you go to school with. And you know they really need to know about Jesus, but you're not sure what's going to happen. What if? You're going to have to take a step of faith. And you have no guarantee what's going to happen. But taking that step says, Jesus, I believe you. And I trust. It may be this year that some of you are going to tithe for the very first time. You know, you've heard it. You've heard about it. There's always been an excuse or a reason. And suddenly you're going to do something that makes no rational sense. But when you return 10% of what God blesses you with, and you give it back to Him through His church, and suddenly, if your faith number was a 2 out of 10, begins to rise, and you begin to realize that God provides. And that 90% with God's blessing goes further than 100 without. It may be for somebody here today that God's going to prompt you to teach a Bible study. And you're going to see a life be changed. And in the back of your mind, you ask yourself, am I good enough? Do I know enough? Am I smart enough? Can I do this? What's going to happen? But by faith, For some of you, it's going to be about taking that first step of a relationship with Jesus. To really begin to follow Him. And suddenly, as you begin to grow in your faith, we all begin to grow. And all of a sudden, we start to see that we are the church. And then when we gather together, our faith can touch God. When we gather together like we have this past week, and stand with me, would you, please? And we're crazy enough just to believe that denying ourselves nutrition and fasting somehow will connect us more spiritually to God. Suddenly, our faith starts to grow. As a church, we need to be thinking big. Our God didn't give us the small commission, He gave us the great commission. He didn't give us the small commandment, He gave us the great commandment to love God. Because as long as the church, as long as there's one person who doesn't know Jesus, the church is too small. And when God looks at you, I want Him to be amazed at your faith. When God looks at our church this year, I want Him to be amazed at our faith. I want to read one verse. I want to read one verse in closing. I'm going to read it. Let's go down to the Message for the sake of time, the Message. God can do anything, you know. Notice this, far more than you could imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. I read that. More than you could ever imagine or dream or guess or request. What is it that God wants to challenge you about in your life to believe Him for? What is it that God's speaking to you about today? What is that dream that God's planted in you that it's been there, but you just said, well, you know, it just can't be. And this morning, as we think about big prayers, big dreams, big vision, I want to ask you if you would, just right now, would you pray with me, Lord, stretch my faith, expand my faith. Let my faith reach out to believe You for greater things. Would you pray that with me right now? Lord Jesus, as a congregation today, would You challenge our faith? Would You challenge us to believe You for even greater things than we've ever seen in our lives personally? Lord, to believe You for healing, to believe You, Lord, for deliverance, to believe You for provision. Lord, to believe You for ministry. Lord, I pray that Your voice within our lives would challenge us to realize that there is more that You want to do in each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest here today. Lord, that when we put our lives in Your hands, that You're willing to work. Lord, I pray that You would challenge us today. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, that something supernatural will happen right now. Lord, that for someone in this room, they're going to hear the voice of God in their lives. And it's going to change things forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, I'd like to ask you, if you're comfortable doing this, I'd like to ask you just to raise your hands. And begin to thank God as a congregation, as a people. Now, if you're not comfortable with that, if that's outside your comfort zone, I invite you to try it. But would you just talk to Jesus right now? Would you, if you're comfortable, lift your hands and let's talk to Jesus right now to say, Lord Jesus, whatever You want, Lord, we believe you now. We believe you now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you are the great God of heaven. I thank you, Lord, that here today you want to do something within our lives. And Lord, it may be to plant a seed of faith, of belief, of trust. But Lord, it may be that today this is a day of change in somebody's life, that there's a healing that's going to happen right now. We believe you for it. Lord, it may be that somebody walked in here today feeling discouraged. I believe you now, Jesus. I believe you now that your touch will be felt. I believe you now, Lord, for that person whose relationships are in turmoil. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you would release your power as we believe you for it. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you'll speak into our lives, that you'll release your power into our lives. In Jesus' name. 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 Oh, there's something happening here right now. It doesn't have to happen at the altar. It can happen right where you are. God is ministering here right now. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, my life is out of sync with God. I'm just not in sync with God. I look at my life and the weight of sin is upon me and I need to get that looked after. The very first step of faith is saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. And that may be where you're at today, and that may be the step of faith. And sometimes you have to step out in faith to believe and to experience what God wants to do in your life. This morning, I think back to that verse, above all your wildest dreams, above your requests, your guesses, your desires. And this morning, I want to ask this, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And I know I've been a little longer than usual, but I want to invite you, because I feel God is here to meet somebody's need. I want to invite you, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I believe that God can work in my life, that God can touch my life, and I'd really like to have prayer that what God wants to do and what I'm seeing that God wants to do, that it'll happen. It may be that you need a healing. It may be that you just need direction or faith. Whatever it may be that you just need to know the Lord. I want to invite you, we're going to sing. I want to invite you to step out of your seat. Sometimes faith means taking a step that you're not comfortable with. To take a step of faith to come and stand here today. And I want to pray for you. Because Jesus is here to touch your life right now. And as we sing, if you'd like to have prayer, I want to invite you to step out of your seat, whether it's to the front, from the close to the front or at the back or wherever it may be, I want to invite you to step out of your seat and come.